Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Happy New Year, everybody. We are back for 2018, and it's a very special year because it is our 10th anniversary year. We have been podcasting for 10 years.
Woo!
Unreal, isn't it? Unreal.
Congratulations.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. And I've got to say, it's something that changed my life. It really did, because I've got some of the best mates I know doing podcasting. So four of them are here to join me for a soiree through the Mac news of the week, and I've struggled to find anything really positive this week. It's all a bit shit.
Yep.
starting us off, top left, Doc.
What's cracking?
Did you have a good Christmas, dude?
Oh, yeah. It was fantastic. Had some weird German dude hanging out with us. And yeah, it was kind of a blast. It was so crazy that the one time Patrice is hanging out in Hawaii, we had no shows.
Yep.
We were both sad.
Well, I was working, so I don't feel too bad.
So was Doc.
I know. It definitely was a busy Christmas. Holy crap. I worked so hard this Christmas. It's kind of insane. I feel like my idea of making a job that will help me retire just went sideways because there was nothing about retirement happening this go around.
Yeah, same here, mate. Traipsing up and down a railway line in the freezing cold at night while it's pissing down and blowing a gale. I had one camera stop working because it filled with water. It was that bad. The rain was that heavy.
Ouch.
And I had two cameras that got blown round 180 degrees on the mountains that they were on. And the mountains are pretty sturdy ones. They're not bad at all. And they got absolutely billioed. And customer's great. Said, yeah, couldn't be helped. Extreme weather. By the way, have you got the video of that? Because we want to prove just how bad it was. And the actual time lapse on the camera slowly getting wobbled around and then getting flipped in the other direction was brilliant. It was it really showed how bad the weather was. I'll send you a link to that as you can have a watch. Next to him, it's Adam.
Hey.
Relaxing Christmas?
Feels like I haven't seen you since last year.
Thanks, man. Did you have a good Christmas? Was it relaxing, enjoyable, time with the family? Or did you
we were all sick with the flu, so
no. There
was that. But it was actually turned out, I was told a lot of people, it turned out to be a little bit of a blessing because we had to cancel doing everything. And we were just the four of us at home together on Christmas, which is kind of nice, with no obligations of going anywhere, no dealing with anything. So we just got to sit around and enjoy each other's company, albeit infected. But no, good. Look at this.
Oh, God.
So what you're saying is that? You have to go and get sick more often.
Have you been?
Whoa.
A target.
I didn't get to go, but I have nice friends who send me nice Christmas presents.
Oh, that's awesome. So you've been you've still yet to go to the circular.
To the new campus.
Yeah, well, I mean, that really is a mothership.
It is. I'm hoping to get up there someday.
We had some.
I keep getting these. We get really cheap flights. I get deals. Just there was a deal. I can get a flight up a round trip under $100 probably up there. Right. So may happen.
We had some selfies from everyone in the Fantasy Photo League, and Tom VF sent his, and he was stood outside the Apple campus with it in the background for yourself. It was like, bastard.
Yeah.
Next in, Patrice, back from Hawaii.
Yeah, it was actually a pretty great time. We had a lot of fun. I mean, Doc was busy, but and Jerome had to work, but I definitely had a lot of fun and a lot of good food.
More videos? Are you pissed off?
I'm sure there was nothing to do when they were working.
No, absolutely nothing. I was bored the whole time.
Okay, now can you testify to grilled meats and alcohol is pretty sick, right?
Oh, yes. I mean, I was sick the next day almost. No, it's not really. I was on the crapper the next day because it was just too much meat, but it was awesome.
Awesome.
Korean barbecue, I mean, that's the real deal. I mean, take that from a German. I mean, we are known for meat and vegetables, and I mean, that was awesome.
Meat and kartoffel?
Yes.
I saw those photos. That looked awesome.
That was, I mean, it was a, no, sorry, it was a mess afterwards.
Too late.
5 minutes first.
Sorry.
Well done. 2018. But
it was worth it.
Good start, Pat.
I've got a pen here. Oh, bloody hell. Bad luck, Patrice. Congratulations on the first of the year, by the way.
Sorry. Yep.
And last but by no means least, in his new pad.
Yeah.
It's greeny boy.
Looking dapper and everything.
Am I? Oh.
Yeah, you are. Looking good. Dude,
the beard is impressive.
Coiffured, mate. It's an impressive little beard, and it's a slick hairdo.
Kind of coiffed.
And a rosy and a rosy look in your eye, dude.
Well, good, I wouldn't go first as any of that, but yes, I'm in my new little bachelor flat, and I'm rocking it, and it's really nice.
It looks kind of rural out the side of the window there from behind you.
Well, it sort of is, really. It's in a little village called Broseley, which is only, 10-minute walk from Ironbridge. So, yeah, I'm having a really good time. It's really nice. And it's weird having my own little bachelor pad because, I mean, what do you do sometimes? Like, I get bored. I'm thinking, it's just me. And,
Porn and Vaseline only lasts a certain amount of time.
They don't have a pub in that village. I'd be out having a pint. That's what you do.
I do that. I do go for a pint. Yes, I do that. But there's, so I walk into the, it's really quite interesting because this the village is very close knit, and I'm this sort of, there's a stranger in town type of, so it's one of those ones, where, when you walk into the pub and everybody's chatting, a bit like,
New Blood.
Oh, American Werewolf in London, you know.
I was going to go with, sounds like the beginning of any British romantic comedy, and it'd be good for you.
Yeah.
Right?
Christmas one?
Romance.
Love Actually.
Stranger shows up in the village. Who's this new guy?
Yep.
Yeah.
So only trouble is, all of the pubs are just full of old men. There's no...
it's not like it is in the movies. Life is not like it is in the movies, is what you're saying.
Yeah, no, it's not. I mean, I could go on the hunt for... There is a field full of sheep just opposite.
Wait.
This just took a bad turn.
You're telling me I can't fly to a random airport in the US and pick up three really sexy chicks?
Yes, you can. Well done. Well done. Love Actually script. Thank you. So just all these women in Brosie now realizing they don't have to shag their brother anymore.
Yes, I know. I get them knocking on my door every night and I just turn the lights off and hide in the back. But no, I'm really enjoying it. It's a nice little village, and the people are very, very nice. And usually it's got people say good morning and good afternoon to you as you walk down the street, and they say,
only to check that you're not Polish.
This afternoon.
it's weird. It's like going back in time. There's a butcher's and a baker's and a
candlestick maker.
Candlestick maker.
they're doing that as well, and there's greengrocers and. It's a very old-fashioned little village, absolutely no young females. So if you could put a word out for me, chaps, I'd be. So you reckon if I get on an aeroplane and go to America, I get three in one go? Is that right?
Well, that's what the film says, mate.
Yep.
Oh.
The week in Apple, all the shiz that's gone on. It's been a tough week for the Axis of Evil of Cupertino.
What?
Have you not seen those comments? Stephen Flatley, nothing to do with Riverdance. Stephen Flatley has called Apple a bunch of jerks and evil geniuses. Yeah. Apple that is the Axis. I think even that's gone a bit far. I'll give him a bit of stick, but steady on. High Sierra vulnerability for the App Store. And the US government's investigating them for the battery slowdown, as are the French.
Oh, then, there's like...
And then we got the Meltdown and Spectre vulnerabilities.
I wanted to say I saw there was like 13 global lawsuits or something like that over the battery thing.
Maybe
26. I don't know. It keeps rising every day.
That got class action written all over it, hadn't it, the minute it came out.
Well, there were three in the U.S. like the next day.
You knew that was.
That's how. Yeah, that's how much we're on top of it.
It was handled really, really badly. But at the same token, I think people are overreacting for the simple fact that I feel that some people are reaching for it because it was Apple. Like,
yep.
I think if there now this happens to anybody. It could be anybody. You could replace his name with even BTN as we become a bigger podcasting network. If somebody says something crazy, then it becomes a bigger problem. When you're small, they just laugh and go, that was just those guys, you know, goofing off. But I really believe that they handled it, you know, kind of in a crappy way. But they've always come from the point of trying to make things seamless and comfortable for folks. So I think what they did isn't wrong. I think the implementation was wrong. And the other thing I assume that's kind of crazy is where have we gone to where our expectation of, you know, how long a phone should last changes. And partially that's on them and Samsung and everybody else who threw so many features at the phone that now phones are super expensive.
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't know. Like, I don't know how I feel about this one. Like, I really don't. I am so
I don't think it's Samsung driving up the price alone.
No, I didn't say Apple all and Samsung.
I thought you said Samsung and I missed the Apple part. Sorry.
No, I said Apple and Samsung. I just want to make that clear. No, not just Samsung. I mean, Apple and Samsung and all the guys that are making like feature rich phones have driven up the price to a point where I guess maybe people feel uncomfortable. But if it's that uncomfortable, then don't buy it. Buy something cheap. You can still get a OnePlus, you know, for a couple hundred quid, you know. So if you want to play in the arena, like, OK, I drive a Beamer, driven Beamers for going on 15 years now. Your oil change is $89. My oil change is $350. But you know what? I'm cool with my oil change being $350 I don't have oil anymore. But for the level of machine that I have, I'm comfortable with that extra fee. You know what I'm saying? So now that we all bought the best, you know, smartphone around, are we really pissed off at a battery cost $80 to the point where we got to sue them into $29?
I don't think it's the fact that people are pissed off at the charges. I think they're pissed off at the fact of the inflation of the features and saying it's so much better than another phone when actually it isn't for an awful lot of people. It's not massively beyond what they need. It's not a massive upgrade from the 8, I don't believe. I looked at pictures of the 10.
But you know,
I went to see Rob Lines over Christmas. Hang on a sec, let me finish. I went to see Rob Lines over Christmas, and his cat was sat on his desk. And between the two of us, we took a picture of it. And his phone, he got that kind of real view thing that comes on that true tones it or whatever. And it looked different with that on. But if you took the true tone off, the picture is absolutely no different from the one that I took on my 7 Plus. Nothing.
So it's the same camera, right?
Yeah, exactly. There's not a better device out there for the 10.
Well, but I mean, we have to decide what we want. I mean, there are two options, essentially, for any product. It's not about the iPhone or anything. It's any product. Either you keep adding features just for adding features' sake, which Samsung has been doing for quite a while. But that's what you can do. Or you at some point decide that the product is good enough and that you only even do minor improvements on the things that you already have. And that is, I think, what Apple is doing now. They are trying to push the envelope I think it's what they intended with the iPhone X. But at the end of the day, I mean, what do we want? More features just so that we can say, hey, it also has, I don't know, a microwave in it, or are we happy with what we have?
But I think people got into the people got into the idea of the fact that every year for the same amount of money they would get the next upgrade of processor, the next upgrade of memory, and it would be fine. And then Apple came along, brought out a phone which was not significantly better than the 7 by a long stretch, and then brought out a phone which was not significantly better by the 8. And added £300 to it. That's what really pisses them off, because that's just smacks of profiteering.
Then don't buy it. No one's forcing anyone to buy a 10. No one's forcing anyone to buy an 8. Like,
thank you. That's what I'm saying.
I'm a little frustrated by the fact that people are making a choice to buy the next thing. And then complaining when it doesn't live up to their expectations.
Okay, but if we're going to just stop every conversation that we're going to have with, okay, well, don't buy it then we're never going to have a conversation that's a sensible conversation that's objectively looking at the pricing of tech, which is what we're here to do. We're here to have a conversation about tech. We're not to stop everyone else from talking about tech.
I guess some of us are reacting to is what is seeming like the overreaction. We can talk and have a rational conversation and say it's ridiculous that the iPhone X is priced the way it is, right?
That's what I'm saying.
Because maybe the features don't justify the price, but regardless, Apple priced it at that point. And if anybody who's buying a tech product, right, you go in and you do your research and you read about the features and you learn about the stuff, you know the price point, it's not like that was hidden, and you make a rational decision, and sometimes maybe that doesn't live up to your expectations. Well, then you either return it, sell it, get something different, and you're okay to talk about it and say, I think it wasn't worth the money. But if you hold on to that thing, I just like think, I don't know. All of this is up front and people know it. And, you know, there's a lot of overreacting, I guess, is what I'm kind of with Doc. I think there's a lot of overreacting.
I don't think
but see, we went off the wrong part of what I was trying to point out. I was trying to point out the fact that if you have a phone that was purchased in 2015 and to still have the expectation that in 2018, that it should be exactly as it was in 2015, you're kind of a dick, right? Yeah. Like we're talking.
I don't know if you're a dick, but you're not being smart about it. I mean, go ahead.
You really think that you think a 2015 phone, just the way phones have been, like the fact that phones have been doing what we got to, where they've been on this kind of sweep, that is the essence of phones and has been circa, say, 2009. That's from 2009 forward, that's been it. So you've been around the game long enough to know that every year they take a bump, and it's a processor bump and a slight speed bump, you know, Wi-Fi bump.
Yep.
And then we play with cameras and memories and stuff like that. Okay, so that has already been doing that. So for you to sit on a 6S and then think that, you know, 3 years later, that phone should perform at the level of what's out right now, that just doesn't make any sense.
No one said that. No one has said that in this conversation.
But that's what they're saying. They're saying that they planned the obsolescence. The conversation here in the U.S., and maybe our news is different. The thing has been a planned obsolescence. Apple is purposely crippling this phone so that you have to buy a new one. They never say you have to buy. They made an adjustment to make it feel more comfortable, because in their brain, which was dumb, they could just make the consumer thing seamless and they didn't have to explain it. The dumb part was they didn't explain it.
Yeah, I think they were actually trying to even prolong the life of a phone, because I mean, what people seem to expect, I mean, at least according to all the discussions that we're seeing, is that a phone after 2-3 years, the battery life is still the same, which I mean, simply due to physics and chemistry is not possible. And Apple tried to give users the feeling that their battery life is at least good enough still, and that they don't have to do anything with their devices, that they can keep using it. But by doing so, they failed to communicate that, and they slowed down the device. And I think that was a fatal issue with communication where it fell down, not the intent that they had.
I want to address what you're saying about this planned obsolescence thing. I think that was what I'm reading now, at least in a lot of the reporting, is that was always the allegation when people didn't know what was going on because Apple wasn't transparent about this. And I think this is the crux of the issue for a lot of people. It's not that it was being done. It was that there was always this allegation, Apple's deliberately slowing down devices so that they can force upgrades. And nobody had any evidence or proof or anything for that. And then it comes out and Apple explains, hey, this is really what's going on. We were dealing with this battery thing. And yes, we did slow down devices, but it wasn't for the reason that you want. And suddenly people are looking at it going, well, okay, why didn't you just tell us what was going on when we had years and years of allegations and you had years and years of people like myself telling people, no, you're crazy, that the phone's not slower, and then come to find out that it actually is. So, really the crux of the problem. And I just want to say, like, now a lot of the reporting, I think, is exactly that. It's just like, okay, now this is a battery thing. Why wasn't Apple doing a better job of educating people about batteries, a better job of being transparent about when somebody needs a battery replacement? They made a really wrong decision in terms of, and I think we started the conversation here, in terms of how they handled it, right? And they that needs to be fixed. And they're trying to fix it now, but a lot of people feel it's too late.
All right, real quick. I left the Genius Bar damn near 7 years ago. We have been sending people to apple.com/batteries for decades. They have this long thing about batteries all the way from when they used to swell up and they would, do free battery swaps and whatever. And so I guess the sad part is when someone had a problem, we would educate them. We didn't necessarily educate them up front. And I always thought that was bad, even from my point at the Genius Bar. Like, I wish people would just understand. But then I think I also feel in a sense that there's not a device in my house that I own that I haven't taken the time, because I paid for it, to figure out how it works. I know how my TV works. I know how my sous vide works. I know how my whiskey cabinet works. People just buy stuff and willy-nilly expect somebody else to take care of it. Like, we're all starting to shun responsibility.
Been Apple's thing, right? That's what we buy Apple products for. So we don't have to think about a lot of this stuff.
But that doesn't mean you should ignore how it works.
An Apple spokesman said, we're going to explain obsolescence and we're going to explain wear and tear. Let's use a metaphor. Here we are at Doc's whiskey cabinet. Because that's pretty nerd. Proper wear and tear.
No, but I'm just saying, like I don't know. There's people who don't even know how to change oil in their car, but yet they drive professionally. Like, I know people that drive for Uber that don't know how to change oil in their car. I mean, that's dumb. So if you're going to own a phone, there's still people that don't even know how to put, calendar reminder that tells them that you have to leave in 30 minutes.
Well,
that's not that hard.
I think Apple is, I'm not pointing this at Apple. I'm going to point this at generally the corporate world. The corporate world is not good at owning up. It is not good at saying we're doing this because, and if you look at Ryanair, do you know who Ryanair are, Doc and Adam? Yeah.
No.
They're a local flyer, and they say that we can fly you to Rome. What they don't tell you is that the airport they're flying you to is 60 miles away from Rome. But you can do it for $29.99. And the guy that owns Ryanair puts up with an awful lot of flack in the press from people going, Ryanair, shit, you're going to have to pedal soon. And it's a budget airline. But he's actually, generally speaking, the stuff that Ryanair came out with is, well, bollocks, if you don't like it, don't fly with us. It's like, that's actually quite refreshing. And I don't think he loses any business as a result of it.
He does,
Whereas Apple and other corporations get found out doing something and try to make it sound like it's a positive before actually realizing we should have just said, yeah, we did it. And that's the problem. And Apple isn't honest.
Yeah,
your
corporations
aren't honest. And it sounds like spin afterwards as a result.
The only way I give Apple a slight pass on this, though, is that's never been their behavior. They just go in. They've always gone in and looked at the technology and looked at the problem and go, they've always tried to be invisible to the user, right? I don't want to say transparent because they weren't being transparent here, but they always try to be invisible. So I think deep in their mind, in their culture, they were thinking they were doing the right thing because they were trying to avoid old phones literally stopping working. They were crashing. They were not able to function at all. Yeah. And so the engineers go in and go, okay, well, here's what the problem is. There's these old batteries. You've got the CPU usage going too high, and that's what's causing this. And they go, okay, so the way we're going to fix it is we're just going to, in those instances, once in a while, throttle these devices, right? We're going to slow them down a little bit for a little bit, so they don't crash. Problem solved.
Yeah.
And I mean, they went on their merry way. And I think that's about all the thought that went into it, because that's just how their culture has always been. You know, and then it comes out that, you know, this test comes out and people start digging and looking and they find this thing. And then Apple has to, I don't even want to say cop to it. They just have to explain it. And ultimately, yeah, it looks bad for Apple. Well, but, you know, if it were any other company, I don't know.
Well, you Apple know, said they made a mistake.
It's not trying to make an excuse for Apple, but it is how their culture has always been.
Yeah. They admitted that they made a mistake.
Right.
I guess I'm just saying that part of the onus should be on Apple, 100%. Like they owned up to it, and people either believe their story or don't. A lot of people are still on the "I don't believe that," because somehow you think you can actually engineer obsolescence into something. That's just crazy. That's a crazy waste of resources. But well, the evidence against that is
I have phones in my family going all the way back to what now a 5S, and I just got rid of a 5 that ran and worked perfectly fine. Now, granted, it had a new battery in it, but it was running the latest version of the operating system and it ran fine, and it ran all of the apps that, you know, I have. And yes, it's not as fast, but with its age, I would not expect it to be as fast as an 8 or a 10. I mean, that going back because to your point, sensible. Doc, that's ridiculous, but it worked. Yeah. Now I would argue, try and take an Android phone of the same vintage and do anything with it. I don't know for certain, but I'm guessing in a lot of cases, it's certainly not going to run the latest operating system. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah, yeah. They can't. Well, basically, I think that part of it is on the onus of us is we run into this thing here. It's kind of become a culture thing here in the U.S. It's a big arguments about what goes on with Walmarts and Targets and things like that. And to some extent, Apple. At this point, they're stuck in a really, really rough relationship of trying to do right by us, but then at the same time, trying to do right by shareholders. So once it becomes this thing where, you know, your Ming-Chi Kuo's and the like, that ilk are talking about, oh, this iPhone isn't going to sell as many as this iPhone if Apple doesn't do X. And then they start making certain decisions towards that line in order to hit the right marks in the, say, quarterly reports, in order to make it that, you know, the iPhone is running the ship right now. It kind of can cause you to run shot on mistakes. You know, it can cause you to, you know, have problems financially. So the devices are working how I think they should. You know, devices have gone the, what's the word we called for days? The convergence of the OS and the iOS is starting to happen, and that's happening as it should. But as that happens, then computer sales goes down, or iPad sales goes down, or, you know, iPhones aren't selling as much because it's starting to get to this thing where we kind of need it to be. And it's like, oh God, Apple's failing. Still making metric crap ton of money, but then the news comes out that they're failing. Like, they have higher GDP in like 212 countries, you know? So I think they're in a crappy position. I don't think they're complaining about it because they're all getting paid to do such. But it's weird that people aren't adjusting their temperament to match what's really going on.
When you're on top, everybody wants to knock you down. I mean, a lot of what's going on in the media is that too.
Yeah, okay, but I grant you that, and there's no way Apple is failing, but what I'm saying is that you need to look at the indicators where they are taking a path which is long term perhaps going to be detrimental to their reputation. And I think in certain areas, so here they've attempted to they've attempted to say one thing that's not strictly true and then recanted on it when they've been found out to be not the case. And a lot of corporations do that, and they shouldn't. Mm-hmm. But I think there's some catastrophic mismanagement that Apple have gone into in things like the Apple Watch Edition. That was a stupidest move I've ever seen in my entire life, and I predicted it on the day that was launched that it would be fail misery, and it has. And I
has
think,
it?
Oh, yes, the 10K Apple Watch is gone.
Has it?
And it didn't last
gone,
very long.
But has it really failed? I mean, you could argue that this was a marketing ploy, and in that case, I think it was successful.
We're going to get everyone to say that it's going to fail. Yes, well done, Patrice. That's a great one. Top of the class there, dude.
I think he means by making the elites get it so that everybody want to copy the elites. Like the Beehive all bought Apple Watches.
Yep. Yeah, that's a little bit true.
No, if you go by the fact that the Beehive all bought Apple Watches because they want to be her.
The edition.
And they're a strange lot.
No. Like they bought the other Apple Watch because their favorite celebrity had the edition and talked about it and tweeted about it and Facebooked about it and Instagram, whatever they did.
Yeah.
And that is true to a very big level.
They would have done it if they'd have given her a sport version, though. But she but
would they have been a lot of those as willing to show it off or wear it or
and I think the 10 was an attempt to do the same thing, to set a second class of citizen around the iPhone, and I think it's failed. I think there are people out there, I'm just going on my own perception, but I see a lot of people who I know would have jumped at the 10 who haven't. They've gone, do you know what, can't be asked. And there's quite a few people who've taken the 10 because their wife needed their phone because she broke hers, and they've gone, but I'm not impressed.
I want to go down that path a little bit, because I saw in the chat with Deep Pan and Bob Beach, you guys were talking about some of the pricing stuff.
Yeah.
With the 10, and I own a 10, I would be very hard pressed in a lot of cases to, if someone came up and asked me, do I get an 8 or do I get a 10? Personally, I'd be very hard pressed to tell them any reason why they would want the 10 over the 8, especially if budget was a factor.
Yeah.
The only thing I can come up with is I do like the larger screen in the smaller size, and that is a plus. But I don't know that I can justify a $300 premium for that.
Yes.
I guess you get the cameras at that size too. So, you know, the advantage for me is I like the dual lens camera system, and everybody knows I hate the plus size. So I can't get this size phone with the two cameras. So that would be the one big exception where maybe you can justify it. And even there, it's hard to justify the price premium, I guess, is what I would come back to.
But actually, in terms of the camera, you've got a camera which is no better than the 7 Plus, let alone the 8 Plus.
Right, but I cannot get the 7 Plus or 8 Plus camera in the size of an 8 or a 7.
I understand that. So you're
saying the 10 is the only option.
No, I get that. So you're saying that there is a compromise that is worth the $300 to you. But generally,
honestly, I don't know if it is worth the $300. I really do like the dual lens camera. But would I rather have an 8 and have the $300 in my pocket? I would say maybe. I would say maybe. Especially if I didn't do what I do. You know, there's another factor for me having the 10, which is being able to have this conversation with you right now and to talk about it. And that's important for my business. But, you know, if it was my money, I think I would probably just go with an 8 and save the $300 and spend that elsewhere.
Yeah, we're still talking about the iPhone.
10 and 8 are iPhones.
Have you got anything to add, Will?
Not really. I mean, it's a pretty dull story, really, isn't it? I mean, it's... I can have a half an hour about this.
We've only been talking about it 45 minutes. So.
30.
Wow. Okay, yeah.
You said...
I should move on.
You said at 5 minutes, and we're only at 33 now, so...
It's... My phone is an old... green, appropriately 5C, they call it, don't they? The one with the plastic one.
Yeah.
And it's good. I don't care, really.
Is it running? Is it running iOS 11?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't do that. But I don't give a monkey's, to be honest with you. As long as I can make a telephone call, get my email, and send a text, I'm happy.
That's just sick. Expecting a phone to just deliver a phone call and a text. Good God, man.
I know. I'm an idiot, aren't I? I think people maybe get a little bit too absorbed in what version their phone is. I mean, as long as the functionality is there for you and it does the job that you want it to do, then, I mean, who cares? And I think more and more, I think with the iPhone 10, it's sort of brought to the front that people think, really, I don't want to spend £1,000 or whatever it is on a phone. £1,000? You can buy a car for that.
That's true. You can buy some,
which is why there's, I mean, but that's exactly why there's a range. And that, when you guys were having the pricing conversation, I mean, there are several price points where you can get into a new phone, and there's several options. And you're right, you don't have to spend that. And I think you and you commented, you know, there's a lot of people not paying for the 10, and that's correct. And I don't think that's something that Apple was unaware of when they released two new models at two different price points. In the same year. I think they're fully aware of, you know, what they were doing. And I think you're right. They did try to separate the classes of phones, and, you know, time will tell really. And when we get the next quarterly numbers, it's going to be telling, unfortunately Apple doesn't break them out, but it'll be telling in terms of, you know, did this experiment work? And I'm kind of in your camp. I'm not entirely convinced that, you know, the 10 will, this split division will continue, I guess is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, we'll see what the average selling price is.
Yeah, how many of you guys had StarTex?
We had Motorola Razr V3s, not StarTex. We didn't get
StarTex. I had a StarTex.
Okay, how much was a StarTex, Adam?
I don't know. It was a company phone.
Well, it was $1,000.
I didn't buy it.
It was $999. And the first Razr, was $1,199. The second Razr got it down to $999, and the third Razr brought it down to $899. After the Razr, the 2-year plan started to hit.
But I'd be steady here, Doc, because I think you're going down a path where you're going to get shot down in a minute. But
I don't give a shit. I'm just explaining this. Phones have always been roughly $1,000. The StarTAC, you flipped it. You dial the numbers. You couldn't even freaking text on the StarTAC, right? And then when the Razr came out, and honestly, until you hit, I think, the second or third version, the T9 thing, I mean, you literally had text, you had Snake, you had calling. My hip pad, Danger, whatever the heck you call it, Sidekick, was like $800. And all it could do was use AOL chat, you know? And so, I mean, reality is, just like cars and phones have been roughly the same price for quite a long time. The thing that screwed the whole pooch for everybody, that changes everyone's mentality, was when we got to subsidization, that changed with people's value proposition on phones, because somehow people think phones were still $200 or $300. They were never that. When you paid $200 or $300, depending on memory size, for an iPhone in the middle, by the time your 2-year contract was up, you were paying $2,500 for that phone.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So when everybody figured that out, John Legere stepped out, purple kicks and all, and said, people, you guys are cock blind by the good sex you're getting out of your phone. How about this is what really goes on? This is what we do, and I feel bad about it.
I'm pretty sure that's not a quote.
No, whatever. I'm describing it the way only way I know how. Shoot me. He came out basically 4 years ago and said, this is what we've been doing to you, and I feel bad about it. And now that I'm in charge, I'm going to change the rules. I'm sorry. We're not going to give you the 2-year contract. You will either buy your phone or you separate the payments so you know what you're paying for your phone and you know what you're paying for your connection. And then that created an industry shift. And once people figured that out, people started going, oh, I don't want to pay X for the phone again. But even off the payment plans, the price has still been the price, $699 to $1,004 a minute. So finally, they come up with a premium solution, tack $300 on it. And it's not the only solution. There's more. You can still follow the current path that never changed, or you can put your foot in a slightly better pair of shoes. You can buy the Christian Louboutin of phones. Now, a pair of Payless $13 heels and a pair of $1,300 Christian Louboutins are the same, you know, 4 inches of extra height. One just had red paint on the bottom. They're generally the same leather, but it's a value proposition.
All right, stop now, because I think the problem,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but the problem you've got is you're describing there Moore's law relating to iPhones, relating to general cell phones, and that has been the case. And the problem that you have in your argument is the fact that the iPhone 10 is a breach of the Moore's Law principle that people have become accustomed to.
Yes.
Right.
But is there an option to buy an 8?
No. Because the Moore's Law says that the highest possible phone that you can get will be $1,000. And it's not. They're giving you a $1,000 phone that's not the highest available phone that you can get. And so that breaches Moore's Law. And you've then got $1,300 over and above that for this phone that should be the $1,000 phone because it's the top end of the spectrum and would conform with Moore's Law. And that's where people are upset because of the fact that they have become brainwashed, if you want to say that, in the Moore's Law principle of that every 18 months I will get a better phone, which is at the top end, and it will be $1,000 for the same top-end phone, right, regardless of the spec.
So you're saying the fact that they moved the top end,
and Apple have
even though they have
Moore's
the top-end option that was an 8, you're saying them adding the 10
is not
the
top-end option.
Why is it not the top-end option? I'm curious about that.
Can you describe the 8 as the top-end option?
No. I'm trying to understand your thinking because I'm trying to align it. You know me, I'm a metaphorical brain. So I got to think of this like, you know, a standard saloon is, you know, say $50,000 car. And then the premium saloon is $100,000 car. But yet there is the McLaren, which is $1 million car. You know what I mean? Or the Bugatti or whatever.
No. You know, forget about talking about cars because they're just nuts money and they're stupidity. So let's just focus on mainstream consumer electronics, not things where they build 200 and it's custom made. The process is that Moore's Law applies in cell phones. Every top end phone is $1,000, has been for 20 years, 10 years. Okay. So
I agree.
The top end phone at the moment is not $1,000.
It's $1,050. I mean, $1,150.
It's $1,300.
No, it's not. It's $1,150.
The iPhone X is $1,300 at the top end.
I paid cash. It was $1,150.
No, okay. You're not listening. The point is they have continued the pricing process for the top end phone and they've kept that pricing at the 8 because the 8 cost as much as the 7 did when the 7 was new.
Correct.
Then what they've done is given you another phone. So they've broken Moore's Law in people's consumer brains because the top-end phone is no longer the 8, yet that is being charged the top-end price. But it's not, because the 10 is now beyond that and being charged more, and it's not a better phone, and it is the top-end phone that should be $1,000, and the 8 should be less than that.
I'm getting hung up on why you think the 10 isn't a better phone than an 8.
Forget about that. It's irrelevant to the discussion that we're having here.
Okay.
The Moore's Law is that
I get the price thing that you're talking about. You don't have to go over that again. I understand that. Yeah. I mean, that was part of what the 10 was about, was driving the top end price up for Apple so they can make more profit.
Exactly. And that's why people are upset, because Moore's Law of phones has been broken.
But there's still a lot of people buying 10s for Apple. So.
I don't think there's as much.
To me, it was worth $150. Like, I mean, and again, and the fact that everybody keeps going to is $300 more, I don't get, because it's not $300 more. It's $150. And the fact that you can buy a 10 for $999, which still says it's $1,000. Right?
I don't get it. You're not.
Like, I think people are.
Forget it. Don't stop sending me text, Doc. I'm not.
I'm showing you the price because in case you forgot, and
dude, you're not logical. The 64 gig is not the top end phone.
No, it's $1,150. I said $1,150.
Yeah, but compare that to the 64 gig.
Look at the price: 1,149,000, $1,150.
Patrice,
$150, not $300.
High Sierra app system. Preferences can be unlocked with any password. You've done this, haven't you, mate?
Yeah, I tried it. It worked immediately. I mean, this is yet another issue that Apple somehow missed. I mean,
only on an admin account, though, right?
Sorry?
You have to be currently logged into an admin account on the machine, correct?
Yes, that is correct. So admin user, but you don't have to enter any password. So if you, I don't know, you log in and then you hand over your device to your kids, that would be enough. And I mean, you know, your kids would just type something and hit enter.
So
as I said, it's not as bad because I mean, the settings that you can change there are, I would say, pretty benign for the most part.
And also you're in the admin account, which if someone's got into your admin account, you're pretty screwed anyway.
Right. Yeah. It's not really. It's not good. You usually would still need the password.
No. But the point is to even get to the system preferences where you can click the lock to access the control panel, you have to be logged in on the Mac in the admin account. So if someone has breached into your admin account already, you've got bigger problems than them opening up the App Store preferences. And
my point entirely.
Well,
they're already like in your admin account, mate.
Yes, that definitely.
The grenades.
It baffles me that after the root issue that we had just a couple of weeks or months ago, that this is yet another instance of Apple screwing up in this area.
It does look bad, yeah.
The grenades.
It just looks bad. The reality of it is it's really, you've got much bigger issues if someone, presumably if they can get to that point, they actually already have your admin password, which means they can open up every admin locked
and actually
control panel in the system preferences.
And actually by default, this thing is unlocked anyway. So if you go in there as an admin, it's automatically unlocked. So it doesn't really matter. I have a theory how that happened. I'm guessing that the developer put that in so he can test something and forgot to remove it. Sounds like something our developers should do. So.
Yeah, but it does just show another area where the QA in security has fallen down. And with the last incident, Apple already, said, hey, again, the problem is Apple's had to do a lot of apologizing in the last month.
I told you.
And that's not good.
Positive news, and I can't find much. It's hard.
Yeah, that's the point of this, just it's another area where Apple has to apologize publicly, and it looks bad.
The best news I could find this week was that Apple is the fourth largest PC computer builder. Hmm. There you go. That's it. CES has been this week as well.
Oh, yeah. Now, that has been interesting, hasn't it?
Right. There we go. Greeny's Green's awake.
What's exciting, Will? What's cool at CES?
Oh, all sorts of fun stuff. I don't know about yourself, but I've got a particular routine that I go through in the morning, coffee, and then I'll go onto the BBC Tech, and I've been following the CS thing with keen interest. It's great stuff. There's the new Scion, which excited me beyond words.
The new what?
I've still got your Scion, by the way. You left it at my house.
Oh, I've been looking for that everywhere.
Yeah, you left it at my place. I've got it.
Oh, brilliant.
Thanks. I've also got some posts from you from the National Union of Journalists, but that's another thing I'll talk to you after about that.
Oh, Scion.
Scion, yeah.
Scion?
Yeah, P-S-I-O-N. So that excited you greatly, Will, yes. But was there anything Apple-related that excited you at CES this week?
Not really.
That was my point. Even in looking for CES positives, I struggled.
There was one thing that excited me, but it was, admittedly a very, very small thing. That's the Elgato, what is it called, button, I think. It's basically a HomeKit button. So it's a small thing.
Now explain that to me, because I've got to say, why would that be better than just getting your phone out of your pocket?
In certain situations, it's simply faster and easier. I mean, if you have mounted that to, the wall or your desk at the dining room table or whatever, you can change scenes or certain things. I mean, take your living room. You want to watch a movie. It's faster to just hit the button and it goes into movie mode than to take out the phone, go into the app or trigger Siri 5 times until it works to do that. So I think for this kind of situation, it's actually faster. And I mean, you have to think about your wife or your kids who might not be as tech savvy as you are. So I think that's pretty cool. And I like the company. So that's has probably also a lot to do with it.
So I have the tap, the Philips tap, and it has basically four buttons. And a lot of people don't know this, but if you have the Philips Hue dimmer switch, you have single, double, and triple taps on all four of the elements of the button, so you can set them to do all different things, right? So like on the bedroom wall and the bathroom wall, the Philips Hue buttons exist, and single tap on turns it on, single tap off turns it on off, but if I double tap on, it turns it on at a really, really low light, like just enough to take a wee without crashing into things in the bathroom, but not shine the light back into the bedroom and wake up the old lady, right? And then now I've made it so that if I double tap the off button, it turns the light lower and turns the echo on. You know what I mean? So that way, if, you know, okay, people are coming over, they walk towards the back of the house, they don't have to walk into the dark hallway. And then there's like, you know, the bougie spa music that plays when they go into the bathroom. So the button thing I get, but it's weird that it's such a big deal, because you can buy Amazon Dash buttons for $5 and program to do all of this exact same stuff with little or no effort.
I think the fact that I like their product and like the company, and it's a German company, has a lot to do with why I'm excited about it.
Will,
something that I think is cool that was updated at CES that I think a lot of people don't know about is, you know, Promise Technologies. They make the Raids and things like that.
Yes.
They have another product called Apollo, the Apollo Cloud. For people who want cloud-based storage but want it private, so it's one of these personal cloud storage devices. I think comes in a 4 terabyte size for about $370, and it's the kind of thing where you can get an app and you can sync all of your stuff through your own device, you know, that sits on your desk at your house or on your network. And the new version now, for some things, if you want to have actual stuff in the cloud, they added bi-directional syncing for Dropbox and Google Drive. So you can go into your private cloud and then define like a folder or a set of files that, hey, you want, you know, I want these also stored in the public cloud, and you can sync between those. I think that's kind of a cool product that I've had it come up a few times where people say they want something, they don't want all their stuff in the cloud, but they want access to it when they're not at home or wherever they might be. And this is a really good solution for that.
8 terabytes for $450, RAID 1, RAID 0.
Yeah.
Sick.
Yeah. It's a RAID 0 system out of the box. So there are two drives in there, either two terabytes or 2 4 terabytes. And then you can config it however you want. But it's, you know, it's a little appliance for doing private cloud storage. And it's from Promise. So, you know, these guys make good stuff.
The thing that struck me was, there's an article on Mac Rumors of the best Apple-related things at CES. And there's a good list. I mean, it's got Philips Hue bulbs in there and the Hue Entertainment System. There's a thing called the NanoLeaf remote, which is like a lit panel that you can change colors on, and you can plug them together and you can create like a wall of them. They're $50 a piece. They're about the size of a dinner plate. And that wall probably costs the best part of about 10 grand. But
yeah,
but they can link them all together and you can do light shows and that kind of crap, which looks pretty interesting. There was a faucet and a shower that came in. So you've got a tub that's controlled by HomeKit.
The internet of shit.
Yeah.
Why?
And you've got a shower that's controlled by HomeKit as well. By Moen. But what's interesting is actually they're also voice enabled with Google and the Alexa process. The one thing that struck me is that this year CES seems to be the war of the voice assistants, and it just looks like Apple's absent. It really does look like Apple's.
That's because everybody's charging forward with a bunch of crap that's not secure. And mark my words, a year from now, you're going to have all kinds of people getting their crap hacked all over the place. Sure. It's going to be like we had with credit card breaches in 2017, 2018, 2019. It's going to be home stuff that's not secured. Everybody's connecting everything to the internet thinking it's all going to be gold, and then it's going to come crashing down.
IoT meltdown last year.
Yeah.
I'm saying it's going to get infinitely worse because, like you were saying, CES is all about connecting everything to the internet when, again, why do you need your freaking faucet internet connected?
Yeah. I mean,
is that a tap?
Adam, you might be right about the security part, but I don't think that's the reason why you don't see it. The reason why you don't see Siri-enabled stuff is simply because Apple is not offering. The others have basically made Alexa or Google Assistant available to other manufacturers like Sonos, for example, to build that into their devices. Whether that makes sense or not, I mean, that is to the manufacturers and to the consumer.
Yeah, again, you're talking about the higher end stuff, right, where they've integrated, but I'm talking about the myriads and myriads of cheap level stuff, because those systems are so open, that are just being pumped out of China like crazy with no thought for anything. Well, because you can, and Apple and HomeKit isn't, you're not allowed to do that. And that's why you don't see HomeKit stuff, is because no one, those companies aren't going to spend the money, the kind of money to build those products.
But on day one, I saw 20 speakers that were either Echo, Alexa enabled or Google enabled.
Right. And I've heard that I haven't tested it myself. I've heard that the Amazon, the multi-speaker sync stuff is really pretty crap.
So but, I mean, Apple at CES if at all then?
If you're, sorry.
Go on, Apple. Will.
I was going to say, were Apple at CES at all then?
No, they never are.
They never.
Well, they have been in the past, but not for 10 years maybe.
Oh, really? Okay. It's, I wonder what, it's most of the Apple, the exciting new tech stuff was still, in the most part, I think, concept almost, or this will be out in 6 months, or this will be out in
vaporware.
CES is,
I always call CES the no price, no date show, because it is.
Right.
Nearly everything you get hasn't got a price and hasn't got a date. And a lot of it is almost like it's Kickstarter level of funding requirements. It's not even close to getting a production value on it. But what you do see, there are certain things that will be coming in the next 3 to 6 months. And the things that were coming in the next 3 to 6 months are Whirlpool are going to issue home electronics with, we're talking about washing machines, water products, fridge products, and that kind of stuff, freezer products, that are going to be enabled. And there was a big story about Whirlpool are not going to put themselves into one camp. So effectively, they're going to dual manufacture the virtual assistants in their devices as Google Home or Google. What am I talking about? Okay, Google or Alexa. They are not going to get into a camp. And if Apple had been there with a Siri open assistant, they probably would have included that within it as well as.
Yeah, and that has nothing to do with the security requirements of HomeKit. I mean, as a lot of manufacturers are proving, that is still possible. You can still manufacture it. As I said, it's simply the fact that Apple is not even offering Siri for anybody other than Apple. It's Apple's product itself, or any other product.
And some of that could be the reputation of Siri is shot, regardless of what its functionality is like.
Well, yeah.
But, you know, you look at JBL, they're out there with an OK Google speaker. You look at, I think there was three, like I said, on the first day I saw nearly 20 speakers that were enabled with OK Google or Alexa as voice control.
Yeah, inside Sonos.
Well, the Sonos system works incredibly well on Alexa. I've been really impressed with it.
Yeah.
Really impressed. It's a good system.
What do you do with it?
Instead of playing through your single speaker in your Echo, you tell your Echo to play through your Sonos system. So you've still got voice control and access to all of your music through Amazon Prime, but instead of coming out of the single speaker of the Echo, it comes out of your inbuilt Sonos system. So you get great quality sound out of it. And I bought myself the version two. And the speaker in that is absolutely excellent for a smaller device. It's still good.
Couldn't you just connect your Echo to your Sonos as the speaker before? Is that not possible?
No, because the Play 1s don't allow input. You've got to go up to the Play 3 before you can do a line input. And why do you want a line input when you can have a wireless input? That's the whole point.
Okay. Yeah. I was just double checking.
Yeah, yeah. So, no, the Sonos system integrating with Alexa is absolutely superb. And the one thing I think they have done as well with the Echo is she's not as sensitive to you saying Alexa. This one over here, in all the time I've been saying Alexa, it hasn't gone off once.
Yeah, they fixed it in like two updates ago.
It's pretty good. No, well, it's not.
It used to go crazy on the commercials. Oh my God, during Christmas season and you know, the beginning of like college, that like heavy college games, you know, championships towards the end before the bowl season started, every time the commercials would come on, Alexa would just go nuts. So you just got to yell okay in the middle of it and it stops it.
Yeah.
It's so you're using the Sonos ones.
I've got two Sonos Play ones. Yeah,
no, the Sonos one is a different device.
Oh.
It's the new, the Sonos one is the new device that includes Alexa. I think what you're doing, Ewan, I'm guessing, is that you have a standard Echo and you connected it to your Play Ones.
Yes. Which is standard Play Ones.
Well, that, I haven't even done that yet. I have two Play Ones and I actually have a Sonos system, but I haven't connected the dot to it yet.
Yeah, should do. You can, just got to enable the skill.
Cool.
And the thing you can do as well, there's multi-room as well now on the Alexa, so you can get the, she's just come on, cancel. That's the first time she's come on. You can get the Echo to play on two Echoes. So it'll play, it won't play in stereo, I don't think. It just plays two outputs, but you can play on multiple Echo speakers around the house.
Yeah, I only have the one dot, and it's usually mostly turned off.
But you can point your dot towards your Sonos speakers, and it'll play. And it'll do the stereo separation as well.
Well, yeah, we went through that story where the dot almost ended out on the street. So I saved it and brought it into my office.
Yeah. I've got a new bedroom.
Good.
Which I'm very happy about.
It normally comes with a new house, dude.
I know, it does, doesn't it?
That's amazing. I walked in, I just found this new bedroom in this new house.
It's pretty good. I can't afford to buy a bed yet, but I'm sort of getting towards there. But what I have done is I put two, does anyone know JBL Control Ones? Really nice.
No. Quality. Yeah, the speakers.
Yeah, the speakers. I've got two of those in there. I've got my amp on my mixing desk. And I've got my projector, which I've pointed up at the ceiling. So when I've got a bed, you can lie in bed and watch a film on the ceiling.
Oh, awesome.
And I've got my lasers in there as well. So if I want to party in the bedroom.
So that's cost you a pretty penny then, and you haven't got a bed.
I've had all of these before, you see.
Oh, right, okay.
All them years ago. So no, I haven't.
The bachelor life.
That would be, yeah, idiotic. But it's my bedroom is awesome when it comes to, and the reason I brought this up, because we were talking about Sonos and all that sort of stuff.
Excellent.
I did some work in people who are recovering from cancer and stuff like that. They call them sensory rooms. So it's a bit like a sensory room, really. There's lots of stuff going on. I've got a smoke machine as well, but I haven't.
I can just hear the Barry White rolling out now, mate.
It's like Austin Powers on the plane, man.
You international man of mystery. It's wasted in a place like Broseley, though, mate.
I know. It's the trouble, isn't it? It's if I pulled in Broseley, it would be an absolute bloody miracle. Going back to my bedroom love fest, and I got the whole thing going.
Do you have a pop-out bar, too?
No, I could work on that, couldn't I?
Yeah, you got to have a bar that slides out of the wall. A couple of highballs on there all ready to go.
This is where he picks a granny up at the supermarket, gets her back to his room with all the smoke pouring out, and she says, I warn you, I've got acute angina. He goes, well, you got to work on the positives.
Yay!
this podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2. They are awesome. Please support them because they do a great job of looking after us. We've got a massive server full of stuff. And we actually got had a conversation this week with someone who said, you've put the wrong episode out. It's on the wrong date. And I was like, no, that's on the NQL channel. That's last year. And they're like, oh, my God, that's cool. And it's like, yeah, you keep watching. Just look for the hashtag BTNNQL. On Twitter, and you'll get some classic shows that are out there to watch. And that's thanks to UK2. They give us all the space that lets us store all the shows, video and audio, and you can go back through those either manually yourself on the website and find them right the way back to the Bagel Tech days and sit and listen to them. Please support them. Go to britishtechnetwork.com/sponsors if you want the offer codes, or britishtechnetwork.com/UK2 if you just want to sign into your account. And then we get the kudos of sending you. And please tweet out and say thanks very much to them for looking after us, because we'd be dead without them. This month, I'm going to go and finish the next video, the consumer video for Uniku. And I'll be up at Hoya in Wrexham doing that with Mark and all the chaps. And I'm going to get my face remeasured, so my difficult nose is going to be resolved, hopefully. And I'll have some Uniku glasses in February if it all works out properly. But they are absolutely great. The machines are being delivered in the next week or so to the people that bothered to sign up for them. So keep a lookout. Write to podcast@hoya.co.uk and ask them, where can I get my Unica glasses? And I'll send you a list of the people that are getting the machines in. There are several going out there, so it should be fun. It'll be great. And also they've got the Ord Green range now, which is a fantastic line of frames. They're just real proper designer frames. So the number of styles and lines that are coming on are absolutely brilliant. Mark should be in the studio in a few weeks, I think, so we'll have a good time. Time for the cool thing. Start us off, Doc.
Two things. I don't know if you know this or if you've heard, but I think Apple listens to BTN, whether anyone wants to believe me or not. I'm going to show you. For Christmas, I got a Red Dot. A Red Dot is a doc-ism for a Apple Watch Series 3. And my homie Ewan always used to complain about people with big arms. So in the front, there's the second. And now look at the new longer strap. So when I put this guy on, my old watch used to stop here at the third guy. Yeah. But now the new one stops all the way over here. Like, the strap is actually bigger. So I don't know how that happened, but
they're listening.
Yeah. So they're paying attention. But, along with the new Red Dot, I got this app called Cyclometer. I'm going to just stick to Cyclometer. It's super intense. Like, it goes into like almost having a cyclometer built onto your bike, but it uses the GPS mixed in with the watch and in your phone, if you have your phone stuck to the top of your bike, and it gives you your speed and your altitude and your whole 9 yards, but it goes a little bit more in depth. And what's really cool about having the GPS tracking is it helps you generate routes. And then, so as you know, some routes get kind of overdone or whatever, so you can pick new routes, you can change it up. It gets into things like your max power and watts. Talks about your heart BPMs, your elevations, your total rides, like the external temperature. I don't know where the heck they get that from, except maybe the GPS data. But yeah, it's pretty incredible. And I hit a new top speed the other day because I decided to ride down this dumb hill. I hit 24 miles an hour on a bike, which is pretty incredible, and almost killed myself, but it was fun anyway. So that's cool. Part of the reason why I'm slowly shrinking is my surgeries are fine enough that I can ride my bike again.
Well done, mate.
Yeah, I think the app is free to kick around at first, but then if you want to go pro, it's $10. And it's really, really cool, even if you are a casual cyclist, just because looking at all of the data, you might not realize how much, you know, energy and whatnot you're putting out just kicking it around town.
Cool, mate. Great pick. Thank you very much. Adam, what have you got for us?
So I'm going to do something that's been picked before, but the reason I'm going to pick it goes back to the conversation and somewhat to the conversation at the beginning of the show about batteries. So since this whole battery thing happened, I've been getting a lot of questions and a lot of people want to know about how do I check the health of my battery. And so I've got two things. I got a bit of advice and then a recommendation. So the bit of advice is do not try or look for a battery app. On the App Store. You can go into the iOS App Store and you can search for battery apps that'll tell you that they will give you all kinds of data and health data and stuff on your batteries. But Apple shut down those APIs, which is another part of the controversy, shut down those APIs back with iOS 10. So they're very limited in what they what information they can actually realistically give you. That being said, and probably the number one thing most people want to know about is what is the charge cycles on their iOS battery? Because basically, the battery should be rated for about 500 charge cycles, according to that page Doc mentioned earlier, apple.com/batteries. So a great app for actually checking the health of the battery on your iOS devices is iMazing. Which is great for all kinds of other things with your iOS devices, but I just want to focus on the battery thing now. So what you do is you connect your iPhone to your Mac using the Lightning cable. You fire up iMazing, you select your device from the list, and then down in the right-hand corner, there's a little battery icon. And if you click on that, and Ewan's put up a screenshot I sent him, you can get all of the battery information on that device. So it'll give you just the general health of the battery. You know, so we are looking for excellent, but then under that you get all kinds of data, the current charge, the temperature, but most importantly, the number of charge cycles. So you can see from my iPhone 10, I've gone through 33 battery charge cycles at this point. And it gives you all kinds of other data. And also there's a little thing at the bottom. You can, I haven't played with this too much, but you can apparently change when you get the low battery notification at what percentage. So yep. You can tweak that a little bit too. So just an amazing application, no pun intended, something that I think is a tool worth having. I keep finding new uses for it. And when this battery thing came up, I said I was looking for something to tell people how to check their battery. And this is a great tool for that. There's other tools out there. I think Coconut Battery is another great one that a lot of people use. But you want something on your Mac for checking the battery, and I would recommend iMazing.
Dude, a pro tip for those who have multiple devices in the house. Once you've connected it to iMazing, you don't have to plug it in. It also works over Wi-Fi. So I can see my iPhone that's somewhere in the other room, what the battery charge and status is right now.
You know what's cool? Dude, two things I'm impressed on. One, I bought a USB thing you stick between the two cables as a USB battery tester because I bought like five different wireless pads to find out which one worked the best and returned them all, except for this one called Tumi or Tizumi or whatever, Zumi. And in the process, I was trying to find out, you know, which one was kicking what charge current in order to get an understanding of what goes on with fast charging and not fast charging and, you know, what was the cheapest ways to actually do fast charging. And I didn't know this was here, and I've been using iMazing since it first came out. So this is a pretty cool pick. But the other thing is, how do you only have 33 cycles? I have 70 on it, and we got our 10s on like the same day.
I'll run it for 2 days, 3 days, and not charge it, I guess. I don't know.
You watch more porn, Doc, clearly.
Yeah.
No, it's not that. I think what it is I habitually plug it into the dock over here or stick it onto the wireless thing, even when it doesn't need charging, so that I never run away.
No, that wouldn't register a cycle.
But that wouldn't register a charge cycle, yeah.
No.
Oh, all right. Well, that's
the number of times you basically...
I guess I
gotta
stop watching porn. Holy crap.
Yeah.
But the thing, I just noticed that...
Did you read that battery page that you told everybody about? Because it explains how charge cycles work.
Yeah.
Oh man, dude, that was a burn.
By the way, iMazing is also available on ZApp, so if you have ZApp, it's included.
Deep head in the chat who's put mic drop. What have you got for us, Patrice?
My cool thing is a weather app. I think it has been picked before by probably someone from the US. I discovered it because, well, this guy Jerome that Doc and I know, he mentioned it. It is pretty cool. I mean, I've set it to the maximum sassiness because I like it that way, but it is a really, really good, well-designed weather app. It is always fun to use it, which is a plus for a weather app, which is usually pretty boring. And I think it's free.
It's $4.99.
Wasn't free.
$4.99.
Okay, $4.99. But it's definitely worth it. I mean, I didn't even think about it. I just bought it.
And it's carrot, by the way. You haven't said carrot.
Carrot weather. Yes, like the vegetable.
You get secret locations as well that come up that show you the weather at Mordor and that kind of stuff and other places.
Yeah.
And you also, you know, if you poke her in the Oculus, you get some commentary back as well. That then goes from nastiness to goodness. It's kind of good. Yeah,
they've changed the secret locations. Unfortunately, it works differently now in the latest version.
Oh well, the first ones were really good though.
Yeah, the new ones are good too. It's more of a you gotta go on the map on the GPS and sort of find secret locations. And they release new ones all the time. So
yeah, for example, where is the tallest waterfall? And then you have to basically go over the map and basically locate it. So that's actually pretty cool.
Yeah,
I love carrots.
And AR kit support.
Yeah, excellent.
Yeah.
You can release carrot into your environment and she gets even more terrifying.
Yeah, your phone gets incredibly hot, and then you'll be going through your charge cycles.
True.
Greeny, have you got a cool thing for us, dude?
Yeah, a couple of things. The first one, and you'll probably rip it out of me for this, I only sort of recently discovered it. If you're in iTunes and you're watching a video, if you go to the bottom right-hand side, there's a little pop-out window-y thing. Do you know the one I mean? So open iTunes. I'll do that now. So if you want to watch a film, you go, you've got it on like full screen. You go to the bottom right. There's a little sort of, it's a square with a little arrow. That pops out the film, and then you can resize it to I think it's probably three or four different sizes. But the great thing with it is it doesn't matter what application you're in, the little windowy thing stays there all the time.
You're talking about picture in picture.
Yeah, it's like picture in picture, but is it called that?
It is picture in picture. Yeah.
That's what they call it, yeah.
Yeah.
I really like it. I think it's pretty good.
YouTube doesn't support it. That's annoying.
Which, who doesn't?
YouTube doesn't do it.
Ah, right. Anyway, I enjoy that because sometimes you want to watch a film and get on with some work at the same time, and you can just like pop it down in the bottom left or the bottom right or something like that.
You can do it on your iPad and your iPhone with the latest version of the operating system as well.
Awesome.
Yeah. Good. So that's that. I knew everybody would know that one, but I didn't know that one, so that's okay. And we're also talking about Windows, the little app that I've been using quite a bit, and well, I've been using for a long time, is called Divvy, which is Divvy. I can't remember how much it cost. I've had it for such a long time now. But look, as we're talking, so I've got the chat room in one little window, a video of myself from my Skype feed coming back in the middle window, and the video feed from the British Tech Network in a third window. So I've cut my little display into these three thirds, which you can do without Divvy. But Divvy makes it so much easier. It sort of brings up a grid. And you so select the app that you want to put in a particular space on your desktop. You draw a little square about the size that you want the app to be in. And then you do the same for like Skype and the same for Safari or whatever. And it's a really nice and quick way of organizing your the various windows that you've got open without having to flick between windows. It's really good. I like it.
Good man. Yep. Good pick. Seen Divvy before and thought about it, but never bought it.
Oh, it's good.
My cool thing, I can't show you on my iPhone because it's green. And of course, there's a green screen behind me, so it's not going to work. But I can show you on the MacBook here, and it's the EE iOS app. We had a bit of a problem. We've got the Sentry cameras out, and Vodafone let us down quite badly. They decided not to work with all the dongles that we had. So I had a very little sleep when I came back, and I ended up going down to the Vodafone shop to get my money back because none of the cards would work. And I walked straight into EE and said, if your cards work with this camera, I'll have 9 of them. And the guy said, yep, no problem, here you go. And it worked. So I bought 9 cards off them, and I was very impressed with the EE service, full stop. But what's really cool is the iOS app allows you to put an unlimited amount of accounts onto it. So whereas normally you open up like the Three Network app, and you've got your phone number on there for the phone that you're on, but that's it. You can't see your iPad account and see how much data's left or anything like that. You're stuffed. The EE app doesn't. So I've got all 9 cards on my phone, and I can sit and see how much data is left on each individual card at a glance. I can also kill off the application, the package that I've got, and put credit on the account, and I can start the new data package on each of the cameras just using my iPhone now, which is an immense amount more versatile than anything Vodafone were doing. And I've got to say, it's a really well thought out application. It's jolly well done, and I've been so impressed with the EE service. it is, I'm considering just chucking everything and going over to EE with everything I've got, my iPad, my iPhone and everything, and all the family, the lot, because it was way better in terms of solidity. And the other thing that was interesting as well is that Vodafone, we found out Vodafone were charging us for pay-as-you-go data and only giving us 3G speeds. We're paying a little bit more for EE, but we're getting 4G speeds. So they're brilliant. Well done. Thank you very much, EE. Top job. Where can we get a hold of you?
Ewan, before we move on,
all right,
can I point out that so Adam knows a million trillion things about stuff, right?
Yeah.
But he doesn't know everything. Big thanks to Bob Beach. Nope. Take this, Christensen. YouTube does support PIP.
I didn't say that it didn't.
I said it
didn't. Oh, was that somebody else?
It was me.
Oh, bugger.
Oh. Nice try.
Oh, I was looking forward to
it was me. It's all my fault.
The fact remains that you didn't know that, Will. That's the only important part of that.
There's no surprise there. Well,
at least you know.
Now, that. I didn't say Patrice was wrong, and so the question then becomes, did I or did I not know?
For those of you listening, that'll be next week's show entirely with an argument with Doc about why Apple is so great because Adam didn't know about picture-in-picture. Dude, don't come back on that. See, this is where the British have got it over the Americans, because we do self-deprecation and you guys don't. You think we mean it. And you get all upset. Where can we get a hold of you, Doc?
Somewhere doing a podcast on the solid.fm network where I am not defending Apple. I am just pointing out facts.
Good God, you see, you're so, you are so literal once again.
Cheeky bum!
So literal. I've had Patrice once this week already being literal. I told him.
He's German. That's automatic.
True.
Alan, where can we get you, buddy?
You can find me always over at maccast.com or maccast pretty much anywhere on social media, and every once in a while on the iOS show at theiosshow.com.
Excellent, buddy. Thank you very much. Patrice, where are you, sir?
Every week here on the Mac Show, and everything I do on thepatrice.com.
Excellent. And last but by no means least, Greeny Boy.
Well, my podcast is at britishmac.com. Do a search on that. But also, I'd like to pick up my Patreon stuff and say thank you to everybody who does subscribe to the old Patreon, because I'm doing a fun thing at the moment. So all of the Patreon sort of exclusive podcasts, I'm doing... My current one I'm just working on is called Carry On British Mac, which I'm having some real fun with the audio for that. And the one after that, I do a bit of a James Bond Carry On. So that's called Carry On Bond. So that's fun. But for the free version, if you go to iTunes and do a search on British Mac, or head over to my website, britishmac.com. And you can also follow me on Twitter, which is, again, British Mark.
Thanks, mate. Brilliant. My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. Don't forget, it's Donations Day as well. It's the first of the month. So please, please, please dive in and give us some donations through Patreon or through britishnetwork.com/subscriptions. And you can put a regular amount in. And we'll have loads of offers and giveaways that we can way through this. We'll be back again next Friday, 4 p.m. as normal for the Mac Show. James Rickards will be here then, and I'll be the fun five that'll be helping me out deliver the bad news for Apple. Don't bite, though. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening.
What do you mean, don't bite, Doc?
Because, dude, you know you just go up like a rocket.
No, and the funny thing is, I wasn't defending him. I told you they made a dickhead mistake. Like, it was so stupid. I'm just saying people are kind of like... So looking for a problem.
Still haven't worked it out, have you? It's just so no. Easy, man.
All right.
No.
You get hooked easy.
I don't want to hear that because it's not fair.
Deep pads, get the landing net, you and we got him.